This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. The St. Louis Jewish Book Festival is just about a week away, and one of the nights that they're going to be doing is going to be a baseball-oriented night. Al Clark, who was a Major League Baseball umpire for some 25 years, is going to be here, and so is my next guest. His name is Kostya Kennedy. He's an assistant managing editor at Sports Illustrated and the author of a book called Pete Rose, An American Dilemma. This year marks 25 years since Pete Rose was banned from baseball for betting on baseball and other things, although the question about whether he ever bet on his own team, the Cincinnati Reds, has long been up for question. Kostya, welcome to the Big 550.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Did he bet on the Reds?
Oh, yes. There really is no question about it. He admitted it. And, it was up for question only by people who didn't read the Dowd report. In 1989, John Dowd was commissioned by baseball to investigate this allegations of betting, and he just found an overwhelming amount of evidence, which he released immediately to the public, and there was no way that anybody could sort of look at this Dowd report and not know that Pete had bet. I mean, it wasn't just a couple of people saying he did. There were just, you know, many people having him independently at the same place at the same time. There were betting slips in his name, in his handwriting. There were canceled checks from him. So it's pretty clear that he bet on his team. However, as far as we know, he only bet on the Reds to win. And there's no, for what that's worth, there's no evidence he bet on them to lose ever. But he did bet on them to win, and quite regularly.
All right, so it's a quarter of a century later, and you've dug back into the story, and you talked to John Dowd, the guy who had that investigation, and you talked to a lot of other people. And let's just cut to the chase. Is Pete Rose ever going to get into the Hall of Fame?
You know, I think that at some point he probably will, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I don't see anybody in baseball now having any reason to let him in, really wanting to. It's really, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame board could vote tomorrow to make him eligible. And I think there just has to be a changeover before that will really happen. You know, we're looking at so much more gambling, and gambling with just sports betting was just legalized in New Jersey. And if you think ahead 20, 30, 40 years or whatever the time frame might be, people, I think, might look back and say, oh, he bet, so what? But we're not there yet.
Yeah.
I think that it's a ways away.
And like the other professional sports leagues, the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, et cetera, Major League Baseball is not happy about it expanding in New Jersey and trying to squash it before it gets going in other states, too.
That's what they're trying to do, and I completely understand that, and it's a little dangerous and a little, it's a little nerve-wracking to have people betting on these sports. But I really do think, Paul, I don't think we're going to be able to avoid it. I think that eventually the league is going to have to somehow get on board. Again, I'm not talking about immediately, but there's so much revenue is generated. We've seen what's happened with the proliferation of casinos. It's going to be difficult for them to keep it down for the long term.
But I'm curious if there's been any softening at all in the commissioner's office. It was Bart Giamatti that made the decision based on Faye Vincent's investigative work along with John Dowd, and then Faye Vincent took over and he was never going to allow it. And then you've had Bud Selig running Major League Baseball since 1992, but he's about to step aside, and they got this new guy, Rob Manfred, who's taking over. Has there ever been any kind of leeway afforded Pete Rose by any of these guys, or will there be by Manfred?
Well, there certainly was not by, you know, Giamatti died just 8 days after the investigation,
yeah.
And Vincent came in on the heels of that for a very short term, and there was absolutely no leeway under Vincent. Nor had there been under Selig. Selig had never come close to letting Pete back in the game. And I don't think that Bud detests Pete. I think that I honestly think he's done a pretty good job of treating him fairly. There's been a couple of instances in 1999 with the baseball's all-century team, where Pete was allowed on the field. He's been allowed back on the field a couple of times in Cincinnati for different events there, celebration of his breaking Ty Cobb's record and other events. So he's gotten to be, and he's often at Reds games. So I don't think they're all hate Pete or anything like that, but I just don't think they're ready to bend on letting him back in the game. And again, you know, it's two different things. One is letting him back into baseball, and the other is him getting in the Hall of Fame. They're connected spiritually, but they're not technically connected, or there's certainly no reason why they should have to be.
Am I correct that technically he is in the Hall of Fame because there's a plaque there honoring his being the all-time major league leader in hits?
Well, there's no plaque. I mean, that's kind of a technical word when it comes to the Hall of Fame. That means those particular, you know, bronze-plated plaques that go in the gallery of heroes where the people who get elected every year go. However, there are displays of Pete, various things of him, mainly as a Red, but also with the Phillies. There's video of him when he got his the tie-breaking hit. And there's a lot of homage paid to him, but he's just not officially a Hall of Famer, and he's not allowed into that. You know, his plaque is not in the gallery. He's not afforded some of the benefits that Hall of Famers are afforded.
Could he go to Cooperstown and walk around in the Hall of Fame?
Sure. He has done it. I mean, he goes to Cooperstown every year, and on induction weekend, you find him about 400 feet away in a store signing for dollars. And along with, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of other ballplayers. It's just really a bazaar up there of selling and signing. And but Pete, depending on the year, of course, Pete is always one of the most, if not the most popular player there. And he can go, and he has been in the Hall of Fame, but he doesn't go. I mean, he doesn't really see a need to, and he doesn't go in there.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the popularity there, because every time I've seen him making any kind of appearance, I've never gone there, but I've seen video of him, there's always a huge crowd around the guy. And so I wonder, if it were put to a vote of baseball fans or even the general public, would they say, all right, it's been 25 years already. That's enough of a mea culpa for this guy.
No question. He would be, if they put it to fans, he would be elected in a landslide. If you put it to the regular baseball writers vote, I don't know. They're, you know, these are people who think more carefully about the game, and there are good arguments to say why he should be in, and arguments to say why he shouldn't. So you can hear it both ways. But there's no question that he would be elected by popular vote, by a comfortable margin.
Has that opinion changed in 25 years?
You mean among the general public or among the baseball writers?
Well, both.
I think that, you know, immediately afterwards, there was a real feeling of yes, I'd be, you know, he'd betrayed us and he really did something. Because, again, he wasn't just betting. It wasn't me saying to you, hey, man, I'll bet you $100 on the Reds tonight. He was betting thousands of dollars every night. He had bookies. He owed a lot of money to people you don't want to be owing money to. He had people coming into the clubhouse who shouldn't have been there. A lot of stuff that wasn't good. So immediately there was a lot of anger. But just quickly on this, so he was banned in 1989, and he wasn't going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame until a few years later. And it was only 2 years after that ban that the Hall of Fame got together and passed a rule to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. When he was banned from the game, he was still completely eligible to the Hall of Fame, but the board of the Hall of Fame and people in baseball were concerned enough that he would be elected that in 1991 they passed a rule barring, specifically to bar Pete from eligibility.
I'm curious about the opinion of one particular guy, and I mentioned him before and you did also, and you actually spoke to him, and that's John Dowd, who headed the investigation and wrote the report about Pete Rose's gambling that resulted in his banishment. What did he tell you?
In terms of whether he thinks he should be in the Hall of Fame or not?
Yeah, or whether Pete has given enough of a mea culpa.
I think that I don't think he thinks he gave enough of a mea culpa, because John is he's an interesting character. He's very sort of confident in his own beliefs. He's pretty blustery. He didn't like being under fire for the investigation for so long, and people can, you know, object to whether you think what he did was the right thing and all of that, but the investigation was absolutely terrific, and it was totally well done, and there was no argument about it. And so he was kind of, he's always been recalcitrant and upset that people question him. So he has that in him, John Dowd does, but he also recognizes that Pete was a great player and a great character. He kind of likes Pete, and I think he thinks that he and Pete in another life could have been friends.
Did he ever say to Rose, look, here, say these words and everything will be different?
That was the big thing, and that's one of the most interesting things that I learned in doing this book, is that John thought, and Dowd, you know, he worked with mobsters and all kinds of people, and he thought that he could have turned Pete around. And what he wanted to do was to take Pete for a walk on the beach, go up to Cape Cod where Dowd had a house, and say to him, Pete, look, this is what we have. We have you. We have all these people who've said this. We have this evidence. We have that. He said to Beach, could they just be walking there in their bathing suits with no cameras, no tape recorder, nothing like that. And maybe then, instead of Pete's lawyers just saying, no, we're not going to cooperate, you don't have it, it's trying to put holes in the argument, maybe Pete would have realized and would have said, okay, you got me. And if he had, baseball could have easily worked out a way. He would have been suspended, certainly. He would have had to do some community service. He would have had to quit gambling, which it's not entirely clear that he would be able to do. But Pete certainly would have had a safe passage to get back into baseball if that meeting had ever occurred. But Pete's people were not having it. Dowd wasn't allowed anywhere near Pete. Pete wasn't allowed to talk to anybody without a coterie of lawyers and agents around him. And that's why he's still out of the game 25 years later.
What did Pete's family say about that?
Their stance is just that let him back in, kind of. It's not a very sophisticated stance. I think they think that, you know, they kind of forgive him all the lying. They forgive the whole thing. They don't really see that Pete is very much to blame for where he's at because of his whole stance during the investigation, because he lied about it, because he wouldn't cooperate in any way. And I think it's a little more blind loyalty to Pete on the part of the family that he's still close with, meaning his son and his daughters and those parts of his family pretty much support him.
In the book, you write not only about Pete Rose Sr., the all-time hits leader and man who's been banned from baseball, as we've been discussing, but you also write about Pete Rose Jr., a guy who also tried to have a career in professional baseball and kind of struggled through the minor leagues for years, but also had to carry Dad's name with him.
Yep.
What was that like for him?
It's an incredible story, Pete Jr. And he does, as you point out, is about, you know, a certain percentage of the book, three or four chapters, are just devoted to Petey. He broke into the minor leagues in 1989. Now, Pete Jr. He was never really a prospect, but he had some talent. He could hit a little bit. There's no question. But when he broke in, as I said, in 89, was right when everything was happening with the Pete investigation, with his dad's investigation. Then Pete Sr. gets kicked out of baseball. Pete Sr. later served time in jail for tax evasion. Pete Jr., who's a sweet kid, breaking in at 18, 19, is just heckled every place he goes. Every, you know, podunk town in A-ball, rookie ball, he's just completely heckled. People are waving dollar bills at him. You know, baseball's tough enough without it. But he stayed with it and just played the game. He got 14 at-bats in the major leagues in 1997, and that's all he's ever had. And nonetheless, he stayed in the game and stayed for 21 years. He played minor league baseball, mainly at A-ball and independent leagues.
Wow.
And that's unheard of. Nobody in baseball history has played that many years of minor league baseball at that level.
That's a tough way to make a living.
You don't make a living that way. You know, you run up credit card debt and you work in the off season and you eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and you keep playing baseball because that's what your dad did and you love your dad and that's how you get your dad to pay attention to you.
Did Pete Sr. support him?
He's helped him here and there financially. I don't know exactly the depths of it, but he, not really. I mean, not, you know, not sort of, hey, don't worry about it. So it was a real thing. And Pete's wife was very good in terms of helping. She had a full-time job. But you're right, you know, because if you play AAA ball, it's obviously not big league money by any stretch, but you can make a decent living. And there are guys who play 10, 15 years AAA, and it's not a bad life. You can do that and make a decent living, and, you know, you have your pension, you have all that stuff.
Yeah.
But playing in the level that Pete Jr. was playing at is just, as I say, it's unheard of in an incredibly difficult way. He's still managing. He's managing in Class A Kannapolis.
Hey, here's the thing I really liked in the book, the kicker to the whole Pete Rose Jr. story. After all those years of carrying his father's name with him and all that ridicule you talk about, from Pete Rose Sr. to Pete Rose Jr., when he had a son, what did he name him?
He named him Pete. He named him PJ.
Pete Rose III.
Pete Rose III, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Last question I have for you, Costa. Does Pete Rose Sr. still gamble? Does he still bet on baseball?
He still does gamble. He bets on the horses quite a bit, and he'll bet, you know, I don't know exactly what he's betting on. I know he's betting on the horses. And when I was with him out in Vegas, which is where he spends a lot of his time signing autographs, I was sitting next to him all day, for several hours while he's signing autographs, and he would reach into his pocket and pull out $100 bills. He had a little TV beside him showing the races from Hollywood Park, and he would have somebody go and place bets for him right there in front of me, in front of everybody else. So he doesn't hide it. He just keeps gambling. I don't have any reason to think he bets on baseball still, but he does. He certainly still has the habit.
The book is called Pete Rose, An American Dilemma. Costa Kennedy is the assistant managing editor of Sports Illustrated, the author of the book. He will be here in St. Louis next week at the St. Louis Jewish Book Festival Wednesday night, November 12th at 7:30 as part of a baseball panel, and should have a lot of interesting things to say that night that we didn't even get to touch on here today. Thank you so much for joining me here.
Oh, it's great to be on. I'm really looking forward to coming to St. Louis. It should be great.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550.